This is Audrey Loftus. Ray, who was born in Seattle November 30th, 1890. Mrs. Ray,
from 1900 to 1940, transportation in Alaska was by dog team, boats, and a couple of railroads. I came with my parents, the Charles W. Sheldon, to Iliamina Bay. My people were interested in a railroad from Iliamina to Nome. I was the first white girl the Indians ever saw. My mother and I came to Alaska on the old Centennial, a transport that was chartered by the railroad. I believe it was called the Trans-Alaska and was supposed to cross the Kuskokwim River and tap the Yukon River traffic at Holy Cross. In the winter of 1901, I believe 10 men and 20 horses started from Nome. All the horses but one died or were killed for food. They managed to bring this one cayuse horse named One-Eyed Riley. The horse was given to me and was a great pet. The men and the horse arrived sometime in March or April of 1901. We were living at the old Iliamina village. And in May, my mother and I walked from the village to AC Point and took the SS Bertha for Seattle. Captain Johansson was the skipper. My father stayed on to help fold up the defunct railroad. I came back to Valdez with my mother in 1904. I saw the rival railroad started in Valdez. I was in Valdez when a riot between the home railroad and the Copper River Railroad were fought. That was in 1907. Just before I was married to L.V. Ray, who was assistant district attorney. In the riot in Keystone Canyon, several men were killed. The deputy marshal, a man named Hasey, gave the order to shoot. He was tried in 1909 and convicted by my husband, the late L.V. Ray. It was one of the most famous trials ever tried in Alaska. The Guggenheims spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to save Ed Hasey. He was sentenced to 20 years, and that was the end of the Valdez Railroad. I also saw Colonel Swanitz drive the first spike for the Alaska Railroad, and my husband, L.V. Ray, was with President Harding and party when he drove the golden spike at Nenana. Herbert Hoover and Mrs. Hoover were with the presidential party. My husband was mayor of Seward at the time.
Well, Mrs. Ray, you mentioned, when you were telling about Iliamina, you mentioned AC Point. What did the AC stand for?
I think the AC Point must have been the old Alaska Commercial Company. They probably traded with the Indians at the old Iliamina village.
Well, I've heard of the Alaska Commercial Company for many years. Now, you were here, of course, when President Harding came through, and I understand that was just shortly before he died. I wonder, do you remember what he looked like, and did he seem well?
Well, he seemed very well to me, and he was unusually pleasant and enjoyed his stay here and remarked that it was one place where he was left alone to meet the old-timers and look at the gardens, and he felt safe, and he seemed very well to me. But of course that was after he left Cordova that he became ill.
Did you go with the party to Fairbanks?
No, I did not.
But you met Mrs. Hoover also when they were here?
Mrs. Hoover and two of the Secret Service men came to my house and had tea. But Mrs. Harding was not well, and she remained here in Seward. Did not go with the party to Fairbanks, but stayed aboard the ship, as I understand it.
What kind of social life did they have while they were around Seward?
We only had the presidential band. They played for us at dances, and every evening at sundown, they played "This Is the End of a Perfect Day." That was the president's favorite song.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned that that President Harding did just wandered around the streets. Was he guarded all the time?
He was not guarded here in Seward. He felt safe here, and I expect the Secret Service men were around someplace, but he was left more to himself, and he really enjoyed having the opportunity to meet the people without having it prearranged.
You were telling, too, that General Steets, who afterwards became General Gordon Steets, was in that party.
He was at the head of the Alaska Railroad at that time, and he was with the party and took them on to Fairbanks. He planned the itinerary of the party and of the driving of the spike, and I guess Mrs. Harding did go along, because I think he was particularly attentive to Mrs. Harding, and Secretary Work was Secretary of the Interior at the time.
Is there anything else around on that subject that you can remember of the for instance, do you know what happened to the golden spike that they drove? Where is it now?
I don't know where that spike is. I wasn't there at the time. I think they drove the spike, and then it was probably given to the president afterwards.
That would be an interesting thing to bring back to Alaska.
For instance, the ladies of Seward presented the president's wife with a Attu basket, and I think they no longer make those Attu baskets. They were made by the Indians out on the Aleutian Islands someplace. And she was feeling well that day and consented to meet the children.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a Jesse Lee home here then?
No, that was before the Jesse Lee home.
Mrs. Ray, your husband was one of the first members of the, he was a member of the first territorial legislature. Tell us what you remember of the legislature, and how, if you remember anything about the election.
Well, in the beginning, my husband won the primary election in Seward by one vote over L.F. Shaw, who was editor of the Seward Gateway. And afterwards, I just remember a few things, maybe funny things that happened while we were down there at the legislature. Judge Wickersham, who was delegate to Congress at the time, came to address a joint meeting, evening meeting of the legislature, open to the public. A number of the legislators were not too pleased over having Judge Wickersham tell them what their duties were. Senator Elwood Bruner of Nome refused to listen to him. So L.V. Ray, who was president of the Senate, excused him from the meeting, and shortly afterwards the fire whistle blew. Of course, everyone thought Mr. Bruner turned in the alarm. Nevertheless, everyone rushed out to see where the fire was, and those who didn't want to hear the judge stayed away.
Oh, dear. Well, of course, Judge Wickersham was always a center of controversy. He was such a strong-minded man and was so wrapped up in Alaska at the time that I can understand people resenting some of his ways when he wanted desperately to get something done. Do you remember any of the other men from that legislature? Now, Henry Roden is still living today.
Yes, Henry Roden and Charlie Jones are the two members who were still living. We had we were entertained by the Juneau people. We had dances and banquets given for us, and I remember once the Metlakatla band came to play for us. So we were pleased to hear them play. And Henry Roden got up to tell the band how much he appreciated it, and he talked and talked for a long time, and every sentence would end up within the band. It seems that Henry came from Germany, and he had belonged to a band. And Henry also represented the labor unions in Alaska at that time, and they were not too popular. But Henry always wore overalls at the legislature, and the other legislators were white collar men, and they didn't like it too well to see Henry show up in overalls.
That was his badge of prominence. I expect you and Charlie Jones enjoy talking over that first session.
Yes, we do. He was at the convention here in Seward last year and talked about the old days of the legislature.
About how many wives of legislators attended that first session? Were many of them married?
Yes. They were all married, as I remember. Most of them, at least, were married. Took me quite a while to place them, but I think most of them were married men.
Uh-huh. Of course, in those days, everything was very formal. Long dresses and formal dress for men in the evenings. Must have been a very fashionable group, except for Henry Roden. Now, your daughter is Pat Ray Williams. Did you take her down to the legislature with you?
Yes, I did. She attended the legislature. She ran away from home, and the whole town was looking for her. And she showed up finally in the House of Representatives. She was 2 years old, I think, at that time. But she was very active, and she stood and looked in the door of the House for a little while, and then she went up to the Senate. She saw her father sitting on the platform, so she strolled up to the platform, and he found out that everyone was looking for her, and he sent the sergeant of arms with her to me. And I asked her what she saw, and she said she saw the lesson room. And I said, "What do you mean the lesson room?" She said, "I saw where the men make lessons."
Now, where did they hold that first session? What building?
They held it in the Lodge rooms.
Uh-huh.
Well, on the first and second floor, they had the lodge room there for the new Elks Lodge room.
Oh, yes. Was it built with the idea of holding this first session there?
I don't know, but it served its purpose very well.
Now, Mrs. Ray, do you remember anything about Governor and Mrs. Walter Clark, who was the governor of the territory at that time?
Well, Governor Clark was the governor of Alaska at that time. He wasn't too popular with the legislature. He was a newspaper man from some state in the South. That's all I can think of.
You said that afterwards your husband became very
My husband afterwards became very friendly with Governor Clark. He got to know him. They gave a wonderful reception for us when we first arrived.
Well, actually, that first legislative session was composed of men who were each an individual in their own right. They weren't going to be dictated to by anyone. Isn't that right?
That's right. It was different, much different in the old days. They came from a great distance. It took them a long time to get there. For instance, the men from Nome had to come by way of dog team, and they came to Fairbanks, and from Fairbanks to Valdez, and then took the boat and went to Juneau. And they were all a wonderful group of men.
How long did it take you and Mr. Ray to go from Seward to Juneau?
Well, we left Seward and then stopped at Valdez and picked up the men from Fairbanks and Nome, and then we were about 4 or 5 days mm-hmm. from there. We went to Cordova. Took us about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Mr. Ray, I'm going to turn this tape over now, and then we'll continue. Now, this is a side two of Mrs. Hazel Sheldon Ray's tape. Mrs. Ray, can you remember some of the bills that were passed in that first legislature? How about woman suffrage?
Well, woman suffrage for Alaska was passed at that first legislature. And the women of Alaska were not very much interested, especially the women in Juneau. They laughed over it and didn't think much of it, and when the bill passed, there wasn't a single woman from Juneau in the House at that time. And I was at the parties, the women all laughed about women's suffrage, and of course they didn't think we needed it in Alaska, even though the women of Alaska had no vote or no property rights or anything else, but they were not interested at the time. And I never said that my husband was for the bill, because they all thought, he just didn't think much of woman suffrage at that time.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote the bill?
I think my husband wrote the bill, and Senator Ingram was the father of the bill. He introduced the bill. Mm-hmm. Senator Ingram was an Irishman. I remember his talking for women and saying that how much he thought that the women, you know, how much it would mean to the women later on, and it surely has.
Well, I'm sure it did too. They were far-sighted men. Mrs. Ray, let's go back just a minute to the Iliamna Bay period in your life. Can you remember any of the people who later became prominent in Alaska who were there?
Well, I was a very young girl at the time, but the only person that stands out in my mind at that time was Captain Lathrop. When we finally reached Iliamna Bay, we had stopped in at numerous other bays looking for Iliamna Bay, but when we finally got there, this small boat came alongside, and it was Captain Lathrop's boat, and the railroad company bought the boat from him, and I went ashore on that boat. I believe the name of the boat was the Olga.
What kind of, what did he look like in those days?
Well, he was a very good-looking man. I remember he wore a blazer and wore high boots and a cap. And he came to talk to the ladies, of course, and tell them about what it was like and what they would see when they got off the boat. And we went ashore where they had built a hotel there, what they called a hotel. It was just a frame building. And after we were ashore, there was a terrible storm, and we sat around the stove all night, and the men went out and put props against the building on one side to keep it from blowing over. And before morning, they had to move the props all around to the other side.
That was the Willow Wall, wasn't
that
it?
That was the Willow Wall. And I don't know where Captain Lathrop went, but I remember him as a very fine-looking man at that time.